right, glad you're with us. And write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza as we now begin anew in the country. We now begin a process, and that'll be to get to the bottom of all of this mess and hold every single person accountable for everything they've done wrong. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this program. By the way, there is a bracket on my website, March Madness. Well, we're actually calling it Mueller Madness, and that being you can see if your bracket matches my bracket and in terms of who got it most wrong the last 2 years. Got to have a little fun about this considering the seriousness of the issue, which is nothing short of an attempted coup in America and, of course, an attempt to rig a presidential election after you've already rigged a primary, which shouldn't surprise anybody. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Just a quick update on Smollett and the case that's going on in Chicago. The charges were dropped by the prosecutors. Now, the police are livid. Even Deadfish, Emmanuel, when you lose him in Chicago, you've lost everyone.
To then use those very laws and the principles and values behind the Matthew Shepard hate crimes legislation to self-promote your career is a cost that comes to all the individuals, gay men and women, who will come forward and one day say they were a victim of a hate crime who now will be doubted. People of faith, Muslim or any other religious faith, who will be a victim of hate crimes. People that of all walks of life and backgrounds, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation. Now this casts a shadow of whether they're telling the truth. And he did this all in the name of self-promotion. And he used the laws of the hate crime legislation that all of us collectively over years have put on the books to stand.
Well, that was Rambo Deadfish Emmanuel, and he's, you know, we talked about a dual justice system, which he ought to talk about with one of his best friends, the Clintons, but putting that aside for the moment. Apparently, the hearing only lasted 5 minutes, and Cook County Circuit Court Judge Stephen G. Watkins sealed the case file, and Chicago police officers, I really, really like and love this police superintendent, Eddie Johnson. He was apoplectic. He wasn't even briefed on the decision to drop these charges, learned about it in the middle of a police academy graduation ceremony scheduled at the same time as the guy's office, the prosecutor's office, announced it. Police source saying Johnson was furious, maintaining that the evidence against Smollett was rock solid. And police, the prosecutors insist, and the mayor's insisting, that Smollett is guilty and the evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible. And everybody is asking, how did this ever happen? Now, there is a WGN News report, actual text via the Chicago Trib, and it actually links to a former aide to Barack and Michelle Obama. Now, I'm just reading what they say. We have not investigated this ourselves, claiming that a former top aide named Kim Fox in an email saying, "Hey, Kim, wanted to give you a call on behalf of Jussie Smollett and family, and I know them, and they have concerns about the investigation. I'm on an 8 a.m. flight to New York City, but please call me before then. Many thanks." One text exchange with a Smollett relative, Kim Fox is reassuring them she spoke to the superintendent and asked for a favor. A favor. That's the current U.S. attorney in this case. "I'll keep you posted." And Fox said in the text, "Oh, my God, this would be a huge victory." The Smollett relative said in response, "I make no guarantees, but I'm trying." Wow. Unbelievable. And by the way, that document has been released by the Fraternal Order of Police now. Ms. Fox, this is palpable and dangerous trends emerging in Cook County criminal justice system, wherein your office either refuses to approve felony charges. Remember, this went before a grand jury. This didn't come out of thin air. Although grand juries, infamously, they can indict ham sandwiches because you're only presenting one side. You're not the defense doesn't get to present their side in a grand jury. Anyway, this this letter that is sent from the Fraternal Order of Police to the Cook County State Attorney, Kimberly Fox, is pretty stunning because they talk about, in doing so, by dismissing charges, refusing to approve felony charges, reducing them to minor offenses when police officers are victims of crimes. In doing so, your administration has demonstrated a disregard for the safety of police officers or an apparent hostility towards them. And the Fraternal Order of Police repeatedly have voiced our concerns regarding this practice. These concerns have fallen on deaf ears. Wow. So the police are apoplectic in this case. And obviously, if Kim Fox, oh, we're working on it, be a huge victory. You know, the Smollett family responds, I make no guarantees, but I'm trying to do it. And anyway, so we're hearing that this former aide of Michelle Obama tried to intervene in a case. We'll follow this as more information becomes available. I can't believe we don't have time to get to this. But I want every American to be aware of one thing before I get into the beginning now of what will be the single most comprehensive follow-up to the abuse of power, corruption, and holding people accountable than anybody in the media has ever done. And we have the evidence because we've been building the case for 2 years. Barbara Streisand's comments have totally creeped me out. And I just haven't had time to discuss it. You know, telling a British newspaper, The Times of London, that the two main subjects of the documentary Leaving Neverland, that's Michael Jackson's old, you know, home, and would invite kids. You know, we used to play a tape of it. We took them in bed and light fire and, you know, you have cookies and milk. It's charming. The way the whole world should be. The way the whole world should be. Remember how often I, because it's so creepy. But then she goes on to say, because this documentary reveals about young kids being abused from about the ages of 7 and 10. And Streisand says she believes the victim's claims, but didn't feel bad for them, adding Jackson's sexual needs were his sexual needs. And then blame should lie with the boy's parents. And then the director is, you know, I'm stunned. Remember I played this a lot? I used to play this a lot on the show.
When you say bed, you're thinking sexual. They make that sexual. It's not sexual. We're going to sleep. I tuck them in. I put a little music on, into a little story time. I read a book. It's very sweet. Put the fireplace on, give them hot milk. You know, we have little cookies. It's very charming, very sweet.
Sure.
It's what the whole world should do. What's wrong with sharing love? You don't sleep with your kids or some other kid who needs love?
Getting in bed with a stranger, a kid, and it's charming, and you're thinking sexual. It's not sexual. No, it's charming. Little cookies, milk, and fire, and no, it's weird. It's not anything that I can relate to or understand. These are kids. What is wrong with her? All right. Now, I promised you yesterday, and I am going to begin to fulfill this promise today, that we will be doing the most comprehensive follow-up to get to the truth of how it ever happened. Everything leading up to the Mueller report. Now, remember, there was the FBI 9-month report that said no collusion. There was the bipartisan Senate committee conclusion, no collusion whatsoever. There was the House Intel Committee's conclusion, no collusion. So we had all that leading up to this 2-year witch hunt. But now we've got to go back and get to the bottom. And if we do not hold these people responsible as we move forward, if the lying, abusively corrupt news media is not held accountable for all of their lies, all of their breathless, hysterical reporting, now we know based on nothing in many cases, or based on anonymous sources in many cases, they believed what they wanted to believe, and it became a psychotic rage. in the news media to advance their favored candidate and their political agenda and to play into and justify their rage and hatred against Trump and, of course, you know, all of us, the irredeemable, deplorable, smelly Walmart people that cling to God, guns, family, and religion. That's who they hated. And deep state actors that abused the powerful tools of intelligence that we give them and that we're willing to deny fundamental, basic constitutional rights in the process and literally prevented their favored candidate they rigged from the get-go an investigation. As I've said many times, if you ever obstructed justice like Hillary, deleting subpoenaed emails, acid washing your hard drive, beating up your devices, there is no lawyer in America that will prevent you from being charged and put in jail. It's not looked well upon by judges that people that do that sort of thing, especially under subpoena. You want to bust up your phone with a hammer for fun? As long as you're not under subpoena, do whatever you want. I don't know many people taking hammers to their phones. They remove SIM cards and erase it, but, you know, usually give it to somebody. You know, the attempt, remember, they rigged, I'm like the only guy in America that cares that Bernie Sanders had his primary election stolen from him.
To be a joke, I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to f-ing tell myself that I'm not kidding. You better f-ing fix this shit right now. I literally am going to die. I need an ambulance.
That was a Bernie supporter. One person besides me.
No, that was
me
Schiff
cared.
After the Mueller report.
No. Then the attempt to rig the general election. We know that everybody in the FBI, the DOJ, our intelligence community was briefed in August of 2016 about Hillary's bought and paid for Russian dossier with funneled money from a law firm to an op research group to a foreign national. And that foreign national put together a group of papers that became known as the dossier. That author is Christopher Steele, former MI6 spy. He never stood by his own dossier. As a matter of fact, when asked under oath in Great Britain, in an interrogatory, denied it. I have no idea if any of it's true. Well, then that became the basis, as we now know from the Nunes and Grassley Graham memos, of the bulk of information to get a FISA warrant to not only spy separately and apart from that, but also to get into the Trump campaign vis-a-vis denying the constitutional and civil rights of Carter Page, who will join us today, along with Don Jr., and to then prevent a free, open, and fair election. The dossier's lies were spread via David Korn, Michael Isikoff, The Washington Post. That was an attempt to literally influence voters before the election. And then, of course, getting the back door through Carter Page, that got them into the entire Trump campaign information. All because of Hillary's unverified, uncorroborated Russian dossier. Russian, of all things, Russian. And, of course, nobody paid attention to it. And then it took the next step, which is lying to FISA judges and committing a fraud on the court, which we'll get to when we get back. This is the day we begin to hold them accountable. This is every single person in the media, every deep state individual that committed a crime. I'm going to outline the crimes we've already identified and tell you the people that we now know need to be investigated. We are not going to let this go. If we let it go, it's going to happen again. And maybe they got perilously close this time. Maybe they're successful. But if they're successful, we lose the greatest country God ever gave man. And our constitutional republic goes down the drain, you know, like so many other, you know, great empires and republics of the past. Hey, if you're one of 34 million Americans that smokes, you know what a hassle it can be. For me, I'm out playing golf and I come back smelling like cigars. It's the smell on your hands and your breath, your clothes. But now, thanks to Juul, You don't have to worry about it anymore. Juul is a vaporizer. It does contain nicotine for a satisfying transition. Now, when I found Juul, it was a complete game changer in my life. I don't smoke any cigars any longer, and Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to whatever it is you're smoking. So if you're one of 34 million adults who do smoke, cigars, cigarettes, pipe, whatever, well, there is an alternative to all of them. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's like nothing you've ever tried, just visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. Now, warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is addictive. All right, 25 now to the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. We actually have a guest in studio today, which is really nice because they have donated a significant amount of money. Sandy, Joe, and James, welcome to the program, and thanks for being here.
They support Operation 300 and our friends Billy and Karen Vaughn.
Yeah, and when we went down there and did an event for them recently.
In December, it was amazing.
How many of those auction items did I win?
Too many, because you like to interrupt, as per usual.
Well, because nobody's raising their hand fast enough.
Who could raise their hand fast enough when you're bidding? You were on stage. No one's faster than you.
I'm going to start the bidding off, and no one bid against me.
No, I did not do that. Anyway, I want a quick reminder. If you love the Second Amendment and, like me, hate the media's lies about guns and gun ownership, I'm sick of it because they never tell the true stories of those of us that take our responsibility of being of gun owners seriously and having the right to defend ourselves. Hollywood, they have their armed guards. You know, politicians have their armed guards, but you forget it. Good luck. Because of that, if you're ever forced to use a gun in self-defense, even in your own home, it's almost impossible to know if you're going to be hailed as a hero or a criminal, even in your own home. Now, the USCCA has a free, that's right, free critical self-defense survival guide, and you'll finally learn, God forbid, what to do if you ever find yourself in a situation like this. Knowing exactly what to say or not say at that moment is critical. Could mean the difference between freedom or a jail cell. And you can get your copy in seconds for a limited time, and you'll also get free their deadly force checklist. Just text the word FREE, F-R-E-E, to 87222, and as an added bonus, you're going to hear true stories of survival. They have a brand new Shocking True Stories of Self-Defense audiobook. That's free, too. Three life-saving tools, the True Stories of Self-Defense audiobook, then the Critical Self-Defense Survival Guide, and the Deadly Force Checklist. And all you have to do, it's 100% free, only available till April the 12th. Text the word FREE to 87222, and it's all from our friends at the USCCA. I forgot Alan Dershowitz on our list of that very small list of people. And there are others, Joe Pags and Lars Larson and all my local radio guy friends. I can't mention everybody because I leave people out and they get mad at me. It's not by design. This is an ad-libbed, extemporaneous show. So where do we go from here is the most important question we're going to ask. And we'll also hear from Carter Page and Don Jr. today and Greg Jarrett and David Schoen. But where do we go from here? How do we hold the single most corrupt news media accountable when you have entire networks now for years that have lied second after second, every second of every minute of every hour of every 24-hour day of every 7-day week for years? We are literally going to expose them one by one.
Sort of dossier of alleged dirt that the Russians allegedly say they allegedly have on Donald Trump. Alleged dirt that they allegedly used to allegedly cultivate him is basically a Russian asset.
You get the person's phone records. Here they see these calls to the block number. And now there seems to be good evidence that that was probably President Trump.
Michael Cohen claims that then candidate Donald Trump knew in advance about the June 2016 meeting in Trump Tower. Crucially, these sources tell us that Cohen is willing to make that assertion to the special counsel, Robert Mueller.
We begin with a new report that Paul Manafort, the president's former campaign chairman, paid secret visits, multiple ones, to Julian Assange at the Ecuadorian embassy in London. This is according to The Guardian.
President Trump directed his attorney to lie to Congress.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. I could do an hour and more on every single lying person in the media, and we will take our time. This is not going to happen in one show. This is not going to be finished this week. This is holding those people, those liars, accountable is going to be a mission going forward. We're going to hold accountable those people involved in the single biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in this country's history. We are going to name names, and we are going to give evidence, and we are going to go through specific laws that need to be applied to them so that this doesn't happen to this great Democratic Republic again, or we lose the greatest country God gave man. Getting this right now moving forward is critical and crucial. As the president has been saying, this can't happen again to another president. You know, the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in history, and 99.99999% of your media in this country, in their psychotic rage and hatred of Donald Trump and all things Trump and anybody that likes Trump, you know, fail to look at the obvious, what was obvious before them. I've gone through how many times that we have been right and they have been wrong. I would like to tell you I'm really smart, or that I'm really, you know, I have a crystal ball. I have the ability to see the future. And I know that the positions I take are going to be right. It's easier than that. Everything we do is basic, by the book, fundamental to just some fidelity to truth in reporting in the things you say. I'm a talk show host. Now, that includes, well, like the whole newspaper. Sometimes we do straight news. I could produce hundreds of hours of coverage. Sometimes we do investigative reporting, like vetting Obama, which the media would never do, or the deep state, like the media would never do. You know, sometimes we give a very strong opinion. I'm doing it right now. That's part of being a talk show host. Trying to be entertaining. Have Linda say coffee or talk radio or Singapore. You know, we're messing around. But, you know, how is it from Richard Jewell on they've been wrong? The Smollett case, wrong. The Covington kid, Nicholas Sandman, why did they go out and rush to judgment and beat the living crap out of a 16-year-old kid and call him a racist, when in truth, this kid handled himself perfectly? I would never be able to do what he did under those circumstances. It would be impossible. But he did the impossible. Thank God Lynn Wood is this kid's attorney. They're dead. They are all going to pay huge amounts of money and want settlements because they won't want it in a courtroom or in the paper. How is it they never vetted Obama? They had thrills running up and down their legs, and they worshipped at the altar of Obama. They never told you about 8 years of failure. You know, go back. Richard Jewell is 96, and they've only gotten worse. You know, look in the Obama years, the Cambridge police, they got it wrong then. Ferguson, in that case, they got it wrong then. Baltimore, Freddie Gray, they convicted those cops there. Look what they did to Justice Kavanaugh. Look what they did to the Duke lacrosse kids. I happen to take the time and get in my car and actually drive out and talk to the families and kids. Oh, I had more insight than they did because they didn't do that. Or actually talk to the lawyers involved in the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. You know, I became friends with Darryl Parks during that case, and he was on the other side. We disagreed. But that's called due diligence. You know, the Duke lacrosse kid, you talk to them, they had to prove their own innocence in that case. This constant rush to judgment, denial of due process in this country has got to stop. Anonymous sourcing and wild speculation by the so-called respected media is truth be damned. The rule of law, like I said yesterday, and due process and equal justice under the law and equal application of our laws, even our constitutional rights in the case of Carter Page, just forget it. It's meaningless to them. So, yeah, we're going forward because if we don't get this right and don't hold these people accountable, it's going to happen again, except next time maybe they destroy the entire country in the process. And if we're going to do that, it's going to take time. We already identified the crimes of Hillary Clinton. Espionage Act, gross negligence. Remember they changed that in the exoneration before the investigation? 18 U.S.C. 793, intentionally mishandling classified documents, knowingly removing classified documents with the intent to retain them, theft of government documents, concealing, removing, or destroying government documents, obstruction of justice, making a materially false statement to Congress. Those are all charges, all felony charges that should have been brought against her. Never mind the pay-to-play scandal or Uranium One or, you know, conferred benefits, you know, from Russia in exchange for, oh, permission in that case when we had Putin thugs in America bribing and extorting and money laundering and kickbacks. We know because we had an FBI spy in Putin's ring telling everybody that they were doing this. Still, she signed off on the deal and $145 million got picked up. She pays for a Russian dossier. I thought, where was the investigation into the dossier? You know, campaign payments, by the way, to foreign nationals. I know she funneled the money through a law firm and they hired an op research group. But, you know, 52 USC 30121 is a crime. Filing false or misleading campaign reports is also a crime. If Donald Trump spit on the sidewalk, the media would be all over it. No, there would be hell to pay. James Comey. Oh, really? Well, he has his own issues, like stealing government documents. You know, presidential memos he took home, including classified documents. That, too, needs to be investigated as a crime because it is under the law. Potentially lying to Congress that he made the decision to clear Clinton after she was interviewed, when in fact we had the exoneration being written by Peter Strzok and supposedly with his input in May. The Grassley-Graham memo letter indicates they believe Comey's answers about the dossier were inconsistent with documents obtained by the Judiciary Committee. You know, he should be looked at for obstruction of justice, theft of government property or records, the Espionage Act himself, knowingly removing classified documents with the intent to retain them. And by the way, how does he sign a FISA warrant as being true to the best of his ability in October of 2016, then go to Trump Tower and speak to then President-elect Trump and say that it's not verified, but it's salacious? Well, was it not? Did you tell the FISA court that it was unverified, the bulk of information in October? I doubt it. And now we know from Strzok and Page, and in that case, this goes right to the office of the former attorney general. We'll call her Attorney General Tarmac. That's where Loretta Lynch met with Bill Clinton for 45 minutes. We always meet on hot tarmacs in Phoenix, where it's 190 degrees. And we talked about our grandkids for nearly an hour. And that now Strzok and Page said, we knew the fix was in. Why? They're even saying it. Because they were all Democrats working for Hillary and Loretta Lynch, Hillary supporters. And Loretta, the fix was in. They're saying it. Then you've got Strzok and Page themselves. Then you got Andy McCabe lying. And, of course, what role they may have played in obstruction of justice. Remember, McCabe fired by the AG for lying. That would be false, misleading statements, perjury under oath, obstruction of justice. What about the dossier? Six statutes that Greg Jarrett identified, and we'll show all of this on TV tonight, under which the FBI DOJ officials could be prosecuted. You know, for example, the evidence the FBI DOJ knew the dossier was largely fabricated. They were warned in August of 2016. They knew it was unverified. We now know it's unverifiable. They knew it was paid for by Clinton and the Democrats. They knew the person that compiled it was a Trump hater. They knew Steele was fired for lying and leaking at that point. Or soon thereafter. They knew exculpatory evidence that we know they didn't disclose on purpose. And then, of course, you got Comey and those that signed the warrants, and Andrew McCabe signed one, and Sally Yates, and Dana Biante, and Rod Rosenstein. Bente? Oh, sorry. Said it wrong. By signing those applications, those officials are vouching for the accuracy, authenticity, integrity of the evidence presented to the court. And then, of course, omitting the main part of the evidence that Hillary paid for it. False and misleading statements, obstruction of justice. What you have is simple. It is an arrogant group of powerful people that protected their favored presidential candidate from the very same charges all of you would face. Obstruction, Espionage Act. They literally lied on multiple levels to FISA court judges. They committed a fraud on the court in multiple ways. They were spying on an opposition party through illegal means in the middle of an election year. They denied an American citizen due process and constitutional rights. They denied we, the people, a free and fair election. We're smelly Walmart people. What do we matter? And then the attempted coup using the same dossier to bludgeon Donald Trump and the media's help, complicity in all of this, with lie after lie after lie built on more psychotic hate and rage than I've ever seen in this country's history. And then a one-sided team of Hillary lovers appointed to the Supreme Council. And think of all the collateral damage. The Papadopouloses, the General Flynns, the Carter Pages. All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, if you want to have a little fun in light of what is a very dangerous situation for our Democratic Republic, and you want to go to Hannity.com and pick out who is the media pundit that got it most wrong. It's kind of a hard choice, but I filled out my bracket and see if yours matches mine. That's on Hannity.com. You can go there now. Now, the big question I keep asking, and we'll talk to Don Jr. and Carter Page, both greatly impacted for years. I don't know. Think of the highest pressured moments in your life. And would you like a cloud such as that hanging over your head for that period of time? And I know it just sounds like statistics when we throw them all out there that, you know, the number of people involved in all of this and the number of people that had to testify before Mueller and his merry band of Democratic donors and the people that were called before Congress and people that couldn't afford lawyers that, whether they liked it or not, they had to find the money to find a lawyer because they couldn't do that's not something that one can do usually on their own. And, you know, there are a lot of people that ultimately were involved in this. You know, you look at the numbers in the attorney general's piece. You got what, 19 lawyers employed by Mueller, a team of 40 FBI agents, intelligence analysts, forensic accountants, other professional staff. They issued 2,800 subpoenas, executed nearly 500 search warrants, obtained more than 230 orders for communication records, issued 50 orders authorizing pen registers, made 13 requests of foreign governments for evidence, interviewed 500 witnesses. What if it was you? What if it was you? So my question is, where do we go from here? How will we hold all of these people in the media that have purposefully and willfully lied to you for an extended period of time? And if they ever could get their credibility back, I don't think they can. They never deserve your trust again. Their rage and psychotic hatred of all things Donald Trump and those that support him, you know, govern their every waking moment of every day, sadly. But more importantly, holding those people accountable for the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in our history. And we have the evidence. We know the players. We have been a small group of us, including many of you that have helped research and send information. You citizen journalists out there have been amazing, too. Well, two people in Congress that we would not be where we are, but for their hard work, their dedication, their love of the rule of law, equal justice under the law, equal application of our laws, and of course, our Constitution, which is the foundation of all our laws. Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, Jim Jordan of Ohio, Guys, I said it last night. I meant it. Say it again today. I don't know if we ever could have gotten to this point, but for people like you and Devin Nunes and Lindsey Graham and Ratcliffe, and I'm not going to mention everybody, Matt Gaetz and all your Freedom Caucus guys, I don't know if we'd be here. Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. But the truth is, you talked about all the journalists who got it wrong. I'd like to talk about all who got it right, and you were at the front of the list there. But John Solomon and Catherine Herridge and Greg and Byron York and Kim Strassel. I mean, there was only about maybe a dozen people in the whole town who were willing to do the hard work, dig in here and expose this dossier and the top people at the FBI. So I want to commend you and so many people who that key handful of people who are willing to do what journalists are supposed to do, dig in there and get the truth. We should celebrate them in spite of the fact that most people in that profession didn't do what they should have been doing.
Well, I agree. And then the question, Congressman Meadows, is where do we go from here? I mean, I have a list. I went through the last hour of crimes that I believe have been committed in this case. And, you know, we start with rigging an investigation for Hillary, where most other Americans would be charged with obstruction and the Espionage Act violations and, you know, lying to a FISA court and, you know, committing fraud on the court and then trying to undo an election of the people, first rigging an election, trying to, disseminating false information through their media friends. Interestingly enough, Russian lies throughout the whole time.
Well, Sean, there were two lies that were consistently told over the last 2 years. One lie was that this president colluded with the Russians to affect the outcome in November of 2016. So that was the big lie, and now Mueller has come in, and he has agreed with the president of the United States and many others, yourself included, who have consistently said there was no collusion. Now we know that that indeed is the fact. The second lie, though, that was equally as harmful, in fact, in some ways more harmful, because it undermines who we are as a fair and just society, was the fact that the FBI, the DOJ, the intelligence community all did things above board and in a transparent and fair manner, treating Hillary Clinton the same way that they treated Donald Trump. Well, they did not. And so the next part of this is for Jim and I to actually take the reams of documents that we have to get it to Senator Lindsey Graham, because he's the chairman over there. We know that Jerry Nadler and Elijah Cummings and Adam Schiff won't focus on this over in the House, but get it to them. We've already had discussions there, but I want to echo something that Jim said. Thank you, Sean, for being willing to be ridiculed, but yet be a voice that allowed us to take that message to the American people. The American people are smart. They knew that something was not right, but eventually when everybody else is going the opposite way, sometimes you give up. But today is a good day for the American people and the president of the United States.
Well, there is a certain truth to this, and we've all experienced it, and that is that if you even like the president, you know, you're a target. You know, I mean, seriously, if you like this president,
no, you're right.
And we've all experienced it. You know, how many conversations have we had? But that can't stop us. You know, we've inherited a country that is the greatest God has given man. And if we lose this country and people that abuse their power and try and rig elections and then try and undo the will of the people, and they use the powers of intelligence and the trust they breach it that we give them, it's over for me. I don't think America as we knew it is over.
No, you're right, Sean. That's why we got to do just what Mark said. We got to hold people accountable who did this. And let me just give you one name that I think we need to really focus in on, and that is Glenn Simpson. Glenn Simpson, who is the guy who was hired by the Clinton campaign, working through their law firms, Perkins Coie, who then went and hired a foreigner to put together the fundamental document, the document that they started all this on, this salacious, unverified dossier. And Glenn Simpson, when he was brought in front of the Judiciary Committee last Congress, took the Fifth. This is someone who, when Jerry Nadler sends out these 81 letters to all kinds of people, 60-some different individuals, it was interesting. He left off one key person, Glenn Simpson, who was at the center of this entire storm, this entire ridiculous thing. So that's where this effort, I think, really, there's lots of people that we need to talk to and we need to focus on, but Glenn Simpson's at the middle of it all, and I hope that Chairman Graham looks at that real close as he pursues with his as he pursues his investigation.
Well, we all heard Congressman Meadows, we all heard last night, you know, Lindsey Graham's going forward. And, you know, you guys have forged a path for him to follow and to just he getting up to speed quickly. What is important to get to in terms of information that will reveal to the American people the extent of what has gone on here? I assume the FISA warrants, Gang of Eight, 302s, Congressman Meadows, what else can we expect? We have more interviews coming out. Papadopoulos's was released by Congressman Collins from Georgia today. What else are we looking for that would shed light on all of this?
Well, I think Jim said it best. We need to start with Glenn Simpson, because it was not just Glenn Simpson, but it was the $12 million that followed Glenn Simpson that ended up putting together a variety of news stories, some of which the FBI used to justify the FISA warrant that is at the center of this. But even more problematic than that, the president has made claims that some within his campaign he believed was surveilled. And I can tell you that I have a strong belief, not having seen anything in a classified setting, but have a strong belief that George Papadopoulos was taped and was surveilled in a way that you would not expect the FBI or the DOJ to do that. And I believe that those transcripts, if they exist, need to be declassified. If that happens, so it's then all of a sudden the people started to say, well, the president didn't collude, and yeah, he was right that they was actually surveilled and taped in a way that was inappropriate. We've got to get to the bottom of that. We also need to make sure to know what did President Obama and his team know. We do know there was contact between him and the intelligence community. And what role did John Brennan play in all of this? I don't think he's innocent, and it's time that we hold him
accountable. Did you hear what he said? And Jim Jordan, I know you got to bounce, but he's, yeah. Oh, I think I must have gotten bad information.
I saw that.
And he still has a job today on whatever fake news channel he works for. I don't know which one.
Yeah. There's a couple fundamentals here, though, Sean. Remember that Bill Barr's letter about the Mueller report. Remember, the findings are so definitive. He said there is no new indictments coming. There are no sealed indictments. There's no collusion, and there's no obstruction. It could not be clearer. It could not be more of a vindication for the president and good news for the country. So it's definitive. The second thing is also go back to January of 2017, before it's President-elect Trump, before he's sworn in, and never forget what the top Democrat in the government at that time said. Chuck Schumer said, when you mess with the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday to get back at you. Now, think about that statement from the top Democrat in the government at the time, saying that unelected people can get back at someone, get back at the president-elect of the United States for what?
You know, it's so interesting you said that.
That's what's scary.
I don't know about you guys, but you know how many people have told me, Hannity, when's your pre-dawn raid coming? And I'm like, why would that happen? And they're like, oh, just like what Chuck Schumer said. Chuck is probably right. I mean, I don't doubt that at all. But, you know,
In this country, never. And yet you have the top Democrat in the United States Senate suggesting that it's a normal course of business in the United States of America. So when Mark and I talk about it, and Lindsey Graham talks about it, and you talk about finding out how this actually happened in this country, that's why it's so serious. That's why it matters so much. And that's why when we say thank you for doing what you're doing with your show, it is so important that the American people understand that this is never supposed to happen in the United States of America.
It is never supposed to happen, and I will say this. You two have played an instrumental role in getting to the bottom of this, and it's time now for the American people to see everything that's available. And, you know, everyone on the left, we need to see the Mueller report. Well, the only reason they don't see the Mueller report is because they ensured after the Clinton impeachment issue that nobody sees these reports at all. So, you know, they're the ones that set up the rules. Now they want to change the rules in the middle of the game. But the president does have the right to release FISA applications. They can redact anything involving national security and all of this information so that we can hold those people accountable. And for me, if we where we go from here is going to is going to define who we are as a country. And either they get held accountable for abusing power and power given to them by the American people, and I believe violating numerous laws, or just take the Constitution and put it in a shredder, because that's about what it's worth.
Well, you're exactly right, Sean. I think what we will find is the great virtues of the American people, and even our DOJ and FBI, 99.9% of them are the finest public servants you will ever find, great law enforcement folks. They will rise up to this occasion, and what we will be able to do is take back the DOJ and the FBI, but more importantly, keep in check the long arm of the government who seeks to come in and treat people differently based on who they knew. No, we need to make sure that we stop that. I can tell you Jim and I are committed to do that.
Well, thank you both. You know, knowing you as both as friends, we got to do a town hall, all of us, recently, and I had the best time hanging out with you guys. You know what? I'll do town halls all over the country just because they're fun. I mean, I'd love to do that. All right, thank you, guys.
We'll get you again, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. And we're going to be joined by Don Jr. is coming up. Also, Carter Page is coming up. Greg Jarrett and David Schoen. I mean, Greg's book nailed it. I mean, the title, The Russian Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. That's what happened. And we've had it buttoned up now for a while. Now it's about holding them accountable. Well, Greg Jarrett nailed it with the title of his book, The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton, Frame Donald Trump. But he'll join us along with David Schoen, who's been amazingly insightful on the law all throughout this process. Tonight on Hannity, we're going to lay out all the people. We're going to start night by night, day by day, all the laws that were broken, all the people that need to be held accountable, all the investigations that need to take place, all of those that abuse power, all of those involved in this corruption, all these media people that have lied on a spectacular level based on nothing but politics, rage, and hatred and contempt, not just for Donald Trump, but for you, we, the American people, we, the smelly Walmart people. We like Walmart. I love Walmart. Walmart's the best. You get everything at Walmart.
I think this meeting and the revelations about it are a game changer in the investigation because they present the first evidence of actual collusion.
What Mr. Trump did yesterday was to betray the women and men of the FBI, the CIA, NSA, and others, and to betray the American public. And that's why I use the term that this is nothing short of treasonous.
This is direct collusion. Collusion's been established. It's out in the open, right? We know this all took place.
And the whole notion of there being no collusion, this is the biggest diversion of the Trump crowd. There was collusion.
So this picture that the president is so desperate to avoid, this picture of collusion, begins to fill in.
You know, that's interesting here is it's both, on one hand, very damning because it's collusion. You see it there and it's collusion.
It would seem that collusion is obvious. A criminal conspiracy is unknown.
There's collusion in plain sight. There were the back and forth between various individuals who were affiliated with the Trump campaign and Russian individuals. That collusion, I think, is quite obvious and apparent.
A political hurricane is out there to see for him. We'll call it Hurricane Vladimir, if you will, the whole Russian thing.
This is evidence of willingness to commit collusion.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Yes, the thing is we can run, and over time we'll run hours as of this type of coverage. Guilt by accusation, no due process, no presumption of innocence. It's all part of where do we go from here? Holding a media that is corrupt, abusively biased, that have betrayed the American people on a level that we've never seen. And even more importantly, a powerful figures in the intelligence community, the Justice Department, high-ranking, upper echelon, FBI, not rank and file, the efforts that they were all engaged in. We do know they never cared that Bernie had the primary rigged. We now know that the criminal investigation into Hillary Rodham Clinton, as I went through in great detail with the help of our friend Greg Jarrett, all of the crimes that now need to finally be investigated properly. And trust me, nobody in this audience would ever get away with deleting 33,000 emails, cleaning your hard drive, beating up your devices. It wouldn't happen. You'd be indicted, and you'd probably found guilty. We have the FISA warrant application that we now know was unverifiable, presented as the bulk of information in the FISA applications on four separate occasions, and all of those that signed off on it, including Jim Comey in October of 2016, and that yet in January 2017 went to Trump Tower and said it's not verified and it's salacious. Well, that's not what they were telling the FISA court judges as they committed fraud by omission, not telling the court that Hillary had paid for it, and selectively putting in those things and only those things that would seem damning to any objective judge, but not telling the judge that they couldn't and didn't verify the information in the dossier. No judge would have, well, I'll use Andrew McCabe's words, no dossier, no FISA warrant. His words, not mine. I've been going through a list of people on this program. You know, we don't do this show in a vacuum every day. And, you know, obviously everybody on the Hannity team here has been amazing. They have helped every step of the way in the research that we need every day to, for 2 years, telling you a very different story. And we have emerged with conclusive and incontrovertible evidence. But then it's John Solomon and Byron York. And look at Greg Jarrett's best-selling book, The Russia Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. You know, there's a reason it went number one. Sarah Carter, David Schoen, Jay Sekulow, Rudy Giuliani, Kim Strassel of the Journal, Sidney Powell, Andy McCarthy, you know, Victor Davis Hanson, Dan Bongino, D.C. McAllister, Rush, Mark Levin, Molly Hemingway, Monica Crowley, Meadows, Jordan, Jeff Lord, Kerry Pickett, Luke Rosiak, Peter Schweitzer, and Lindsey Graham. I mean, he did a good job as well, and will now take this to the next step in the Senate. The big question is, where do we go from here? And the author of that number one bestseller, The Russia Hoax, Greg Jarrett, is with us. Also, David Schoen has been incredibly insightful and brilliant, and sends incredibly insightful notes behind the scenes that help daily. Criminal defense civil liberties attorney. Thank you both for being with us. You know, I said on the air, guys, everyone wanted me to spike the football yesterday. I don't feel like spiking the football because I think we came very, very close, and if we don't fix it, we will be there, and that is to an attempted coup and the undoing of a duly elected president, Greg Jarrett, and literally fixing an election.
You know, it's going to take a long time for credibility and integrity, not just in our institutions that we used to revere, like the Department of Justice and the FBI, but in the media at large. I mean, I have never in my lifetime, I'm 63 years old, I have never seen such egregious media malpractice as we're seeing in the age of Trump. The media suspended any sense or semblance of fairness. They abandoned objectivity. They became advocates of hate against Trump. And in the process, they utterly squandered their credibility, which is, by the way, their only currency. And it is no wonder that poll after poll shows that Americans do not trust or believe just about anything the media says.
I look, we're going to hold, and we actually, for fun, with Sweet 16 time, but we put our brackets, the New York Post had brackets about the most corrupt, you know, media personalities that said the most outrageous thing. But it was like a case of groupthink, David. And you know, here we were. We really did have evidence that, in fact, they rigged an investigation to keep alive the candidate of their choosing when any other American would go to jail. That's a dual system of justice. That is not equal justice under the law. That is not equal application of our laws. We now need to start there, and we need to go after all of those people that helped rig that investigation and came to an exoneration before the investigation began. Then FISA. And then the lies that have been told repeatedly and the attempt to use a phony Clinton bought and paid for Russian dossier put together by a foreign agent that she paid for, then used to remove a sitting president and put the country through 2 years of hell and division in the process, David.
Yeah, listen, you said it before. You decided not to spike the football.
That's exactly right. Nobody wanted really to be right in this case, in a sense. But for all of the kudos you gave to everyone else, you deserve it, number one. And this is not an advertisement. I'm going to say this to everybody listening and to those who should be listening. If you have 14, 15 million listeners every day, you should have 114 or 15 million listeners because you've told the truth and truth that nobody else was willing to tell all through this period. You provided the forum for everyone to put in their facts if they are part of this team and so on. Linda provided the forum. That deserves incredible credit, and everyone in this country should be thankful because you've exposed something terrible. As far as where we go from here, Greg's going to have to write the sequel because Greg predicted in his book exactly why there could not have been and wasn't obstruction of justice, and we exposed so many of these things that are bad. The story is still to be written, and I'm sorry to tell you, Mr. Hannity, your work is just beginning, once again, because there's so much still to be uncovered that you've started to uncover, and you will now completely uncover and expose all of these things. We don't know where it's going to go with Hillary Clinton and all of these people who are behind this. Mr. Brennan now. I mean, what can you imagine an intelligent...
Oh, I must have had bad information. He still has a job, as far as I know, today at conspiracy TV, MSNBC.
Really unbelievable. And it's completely un-American what's happened here. And as far as whether we've learned a lesson...
He accused the president unequivocally of treason. The president was accused of treason numerous times by these people.
That's right. Using the imprimatur of his former office as a head of intelligence, unheard of for a person to get involved with politics and a political agenda like that. But listen, you asked, where we're going from here. Look at what Nadler has done. Look at what these folks are saying. They're trying to pick on any word to open it up. They want to talk about impeachment when Mueller found clearly no collusion based on a team that wanted to find collusion no matter what. But instead, Nadler has picked two people in Barry Burke and Norm Eisen as his so-called investigators who already determined, wrote a 168-page article that President Trump is guilty of obstruction of justice. That's not an investigation. And when they pick people like Mueller picked for his team, they diminish our system of justice in the world's eyes. We're supposed to be a leader, a government of men, a government of laws and not of men and women. This diminishes that principle. We're a beacon of light around the world. They're going to tear that asunder if they keep on with this political agenda to stymie the president no matter what when it comes to policy by attacking, attacking, and attacking.
Greg Jarrett has helped us all along the way compile a list. By the way, Rudy had identified for Hillary alone about 17 potential crimes that needed to be investigated.
Right.
On your list, just to start, those that violated laws, then people that need a full investigation. Start with Hillary. That's from the foundation, pay to play, uranium one, the phony dossier. Jim Comey is another. Now we know from testimony last week, Loretta Lynch needs to be investigated. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andrew McCabe is being investigated. James Rubicki, James Baker. And you list all of the laws, but then we also have Brennan and Clapper. And then we have Susan Rice. And I'll ask the question that I think needs to be asked more than anything. Now that Lisa Page and Peter Strzok both say that all the decisions of the FBI had to be approved of by Loretta Lynch, then the question is not only what did she know, when did she know it, what did Obama know? When did Obama know it, knowing it went that high in his administration?
You know, there's a very revealing text message between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page in the fall of 2016, and they're referring to the Trump-Russia collusion investigation. And they write, "The White House wants to know everything we're doing." So clearly, Barack Obama was in on this because his CIA director was John Brennan, and he gave daily briefings to the president. That's his job, a CIA director. And he bragged, actually, in his congressional testimony, that the collusion information he first obtained was the creation of the Trump-Russia investigation. So that's why I call him in my book the instigator. So Barack Obama was in on it. It would be unimaginable for a president of the United States not to know that there is an FBI counterintelligence investigation of the presidential nominee for a rival party. Of course, the president knew. The White House knew. The FBI knew. The Department of Justice knew. And they were all in on it. And as I, you know, the most egregious crimes on my list deal with using a phony dossier to wiretap an innocent American citizen, Carter Page. And it's six different felonies, in my judgment.
It is. And Carter Page will join us later. But this is important. That's denying an American citizen their basic constitutional rights.
It's a Fourth Amendment violation on reasonable search and seizure.
And more importantly, it was a door to, again, spy on the Trump campaign in the middle of an election.
Right.
And get into all things world
That's
Trump.
That's why they did it. The people who signed off on it, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Sally Yates, Dana Buente, Rod Rosenstein. I mean, they so repeatedly and egregiously lied to the FISA judges concealing vital evidence. They knew the dossier was fabricated.
They were told by Bruce Orr in August of 2016, right, according to his testimony.
They knew it was unverified. They knew it was paid for by Clinton and the Democrats. They knew the person who compiled it despised Trump. They knew Steele was fired for lying. They knew of exculpatory evidence. And all of that I just named, they concealed from the FISA court. That is perjury. It's obstruction of justice. It's fraud. It's deprivation of rights under color of law.
You need to. The name of your follow up book is The Russia Hoax. How do we get this right? All right. Well,
it's last not word. The title of the book I'm working on, but it basically
have a chapter dedicated to me. Last word, David Cho.
A lot of work to do, but let's not let Andrew Weissman off the hook either, quite so fast. We now know what he knew from Bruce Orr. He knew going in that this whole thing was a mess and a crooked scheme. He's gotten off in the past. I have two clients serving life in prison based on his misconduct and exculpatory evidence that he withheld. Understand, this man is now going to the New York University Law School to teach about wrongful convictions.
You can't even make that up. All right.
Yep.
You guys have been amazing, and it's now a good time to reread or read for the first time through now the prism of the Mueller report, the Russia hoax of Greg Jarrett. We'll put it back up on our website. Thank you both. You have been incredible all along the
way.
Thank you. All right. Also coming up, Carter Page, I mentioned, will be joining us. Donald Trump Jr. at the top of the hour. We have an amazing Hannity tonight. We begin a process of where do we go from here and who and how will they be held accountable? 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to be a part of the program, we'll continue. All right, News Roundup Information Overload Hour, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. You know, it's not just the president that has been through this. Later, we'll speak to Carter Page. Yesterday, we talked to George Papadopoulos and his wife, Simona. Every one of those individuals that were called before Mueller's merry band of Democratic donors. You think that's stressful? Do you think that's expensive to hire the lawyer that you need in a case like that, or being called before Congress and having wide speculation about you, in the case of the president, his wife, his children, and everybody in between? Why? Because other people, they literally rigged an investigation so that their favored candidate would not get indicted. And then she produced a Russian dossier, one that was full of Russian lies with funneled money through Fusion GPS from a law firm hiring a foreign national. Then we find out everybody in the DOJ and the FBI was warned about this in August of 2016, but that didn't matter. The phony Russian, ironic, dossier with Russian lies was then used as the basis for a FISA warrant, especially approved because they never told the judge that Hillary paid for it, the opposition party candidate. They never could verify the dossier, but they didn't tell the FISA court judge that either. We now know it's unverifiable because its author doesn't stand behind his own dossier. So, well, maybe 50-50. I have no idea if any of this is true. And that brought us to this point. Then it was used as a weapon to bludgeon and undo the will of the American people and take down a sitting president. After all, the people involved in this thought we were irredeemable deplorables, smelly Walmart voters that cling to our God, guns, Bibles, religion. Anyway, Don Jr. was one of those people that went through a lot of this himself. I think, what, you gave 25 hours at least of testimony that I know of, and probably countless hours of preparation and anxiety and worry and concern because these people had limitless power and they were on a mission to destroy your father.
Yeah, well, Sean, thanks for having me on. And that's the reality. Yeah, I did 27 and change hours in various congressional committees. And you're right, there is a lot of prep for that because, you know, what was an insignificant day 2 years before all of a sudden becomes the basis by which they'll try to get you on a perjury charge. And so the whole process was pretty disgusting, actually. It's just so biased. It's such a shame. And you've seen that because the media is not even doing an I'm sorry tour. They're basically sticking by that this was honest reporting, not something that was created by the DNC, the Hillary Clinton campaign, which they were a willing participants in, and that has to change. Luckily, it came out this way, and honestly, for me, I just want to thank all of those incredible deplorables, the people that stuck with us, that didn't doubt that any of this thing, that thought, rightfully so, that it was ridiculous for these people to run around, and former directors of the CIA and FBI saying that my father, the president of the United States, the billionaire from New York who didn't need this job even a little bit, that he was somehow a Russian agent and was committing treason. I mean, that's how insane it's gotten. I really hope that people remember that in 2020 because we got to show these people a lesson.
Well, if we don't, and I said this last night, and I've been saying it for some time now, honestly, this is now a new beginning. Now we've got to get to the bottom of all of this. And if we don't get it right, in other words, where we go from here matters. And if we don't get to the bottom of an attempt to rig an investigation in favor of one candidate and prevent a candidate from being charged for obvious obstruction, and even James Comey's general counsel, Baker, thought she should be indicted for the Espionage Act, or, you know, an attempt to rig a general election, well, after you rigged a primary, spying on an opposition party in a presidential election year, lying to FISA courts in the process by omission, not telling the courts who paid for the document and never verifying the document, you know, denying one citizen due process, constitutional rights, and then an attempted coup, basically, of a sitting president by using the dossier as the so-called insurance policy and appointing a very biased team to look into this for 2 years, even though the FBI 9-month investigation found nothing, the Senate bipartisan investigation found nothing, the House investigation found nothing. So I wouldn't have expected a different result, but you never knew what the team Mueller had put together.
Well, I mean, certainly when you have a team of, you know, 40 FBI agents, 19 Hillary Clinton donors who would like nothing more than to take down Donald Trump. I mean, this wasn't exactly an unbiased situation. So there was always that possibility that these guys do whatever they could to try to take down Trump. And I imagine they did. The reality is there's nothing there. They know that now. And you still see the Brian Seltzers of the world running around pretending that CNN wasn't totally culpable in peddling this propaganda nonsense for 2 years. What they've done to our republic, what they've done to democracy is a disgrace. It's a stain on our Constitution. And they shouldn't be allowed to do it. You can't just say I'm a reporter, hide under guise of freedom of the press, and then say whatever you want as long as it fits your narrative. We see this going on time and time again. If you're on the left, if you're on that side, you can get away with anything. I mean, perhaps today the best example is look what happened with Jussie Smollett. The police are furious. Hell, you've lost Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel saying this is shady stuff. This isn't the way it's supposed to happen. That some, you know, person who's a Soros, you know, beneficiary, friends with the Obamas, all of a sudden just says, hey, this stuff can magically go away. What do you think would have happened had they found two kids who had nothing to do with it that were wearing MAGA hats that morning? Those kids would be in jail for 25 years for doing nothing.
16-year-old kids.
No one would have said a thing.
Yeah, well,
consequences for being a conservative, Sean. There are consequences for being a conservative, and we got to end that crap.
Well, the problem, well, I agree. And, you know, you look, if you're willing to beat up a 16-year-old kid and rush to judgment and call him a racist and look at a 15-second snippet of something and run with it in a way that is a frenzy and a fury, well, that was the entire you know, 2+ years that you and your family lived under. And that is this breathless hysteria, false coverage, you know, anonymous sources. This is it. Trump's going to be impeached. Don Jr.'s going to jail. Jared's going to jail. All these people are guilty of colluding with the Russians, it's not funny. And if we don't get this right, especially in terms of those people that abused the power that we entrust them with to advance their own agenda, thinking they know better than we, the people, who should be president, and then an attempt to take down a president based on nothing but a pile of lies paid for by the bitter loser opposition party candidate used before and after the election. Well, if we don't get it right, this will happen again. And the next 100%. Time we...
But Sean, it's not just the media. I mean, you got, you know, people like Adam Schiff, the leader of the Tinfoil Hat Brigade, you know, running around saying that he's seen evidence. Really, he's seen evidence that Mueller hasn't seen? You know, I don't think anyone can credibly with a straight face until about 2 weeks ago when they realized he wasn't going to come back with a collusion. You know, he was the Democrats' godsend. He was their, you know, their deity, their savior. He's going to be the guy. And then you realize, you know what, maybe he's not. And all of a sudden, the Democrats turned on him in about 2 seconds, too. But you got guys like Adam Schiff, who is presumably leaking my entire testimony while I'm in the committee during.
How many times did he take a bathroom break during that committee hearing?
Numerous.
Yeah.
But the reality is this. CNN's two of the three big bombshells of that year were me. One, where they handed an email. They just conveniently deleted the one before the 14, so it looks like I got WikiLeaks, you know, 6 days before instead of 4 days after it was made public to the world. Oh, no apology. What about Lanny Davis as their confidential source walking back his statement that I had spoken to my father about the Russia meeting, you know, from June? He literally walked it back, and they wouldn't even retract the story. Their source walked back the statement that he had lied to them about, and they wouldn't pull the story. I mean, that's not journalism. That's propaganda. For people that like to run around and talk about, you know, Stalinist tactics and all these things, I mean, they're pretty damn good at implementing them themselves. That's what they do. It's always do as I say, not as I do. And it's a disgrace. And I think the media and the Dems and the fact that they're basically one and the same they've done irreparable damage to their credibility, to our democracy, and to this republic. And there really needs to be a reckoning. If there isn't, I don't know that you ever get that credibility back. I don't know that you ever get that faith in these institutions back. And they ruined it because they didn't like Trump. What'd they get from that? All-time low unemployment numbers for African-Americans, for Hispanics, incredibly high stock market, people's 401ks, through the roof, rising wages, especially for the lower demographics. What exactly are they trying to combat here?
I'm going to tell you something.
Socialist policies that have failed 1,000 times over and again because they're going to get it right this time.
Yeah,
that's a brilliant concept. How about we spend $93 billion and take a train to Hawaii? I mean, you know, with the Green New Deal. I mean, these are brilliant concepts, obviously. But they can't win with ideas because their ideas suck, Sean. Their ideas are totally worthless. They're failed. They failed for decades in all the other socialist countries that they've tried to implement them in. They want to put them in here. So when they can't win with ideas, they try to win with propaganda. They try to win with Stalinist tactics by trying to take down the duly elected president of the United States. And we should be sick of this. I don't care what side you're on. I don't care if you're the ultimate leftist. You shouldn't want this happening because if they can do it to him, they can do it to the other side.
If we don't get it right and follow through on it, and those people aren't held accountable, and I went over every crime and every lie, and we're going to name names, and we're going to pursue this with a vengeance, because really it's now a beginning. Now it's time to, how did this ever happen in the United States of America? This is the stuff of banana republics. This is not how our justice system is supposed to work. And then we have deeper layers, and that would be abusing the powerful tools of intelligence that we give people, that we entrust these people with, and spying on Americans illegally and not minimizing, and then unmasking people, leaking raw intelligence. That's a problem. Allowing Hillary Clinton to get off free. I promise you, Don Jr., in the process, if you had subpoenaed emails and you erased them and you cleaned your hard drive with bleach bit and you busted up your old phones and BlackBerries with hammers and killed the SIM cards, you would be in jail. No lawyer on the face of this earth would get you out of that predicament.
John, I handed over everything. I did 27 hours of congressional testimony, about three times more than Hillary Clinton did in her cover-up of Benghazi over a 20-minute meeting. Okay, you don't think that Adam Schiff gave my testimony to Mueller to make sure that there weren't any inconsistency or lies? Okay. I did that, and I've had to hear for 2 years about me going to jail. Hillary Clinton, under subpoena, bleach bits, destroys with actual hammers, not figuratively, but actually breaks BlackBerries with hammers to destroy the evidence, and there's not even a question whether... I mean, this is insanity. Again, you said it right. This is Banana Republic stuff. But by the way, if you read about it in a Banana Republic, it would actually still be shocking. The fact that it's going on in America and went on in this day and age is really scary. It's not shocking. It's scary.
All right. As we continue, Don Jr. is with us fired up today, as I think he rightly should be. Not only would I be mad like you are, and you're not mad. You're not an angry mad. It's a righteous indignation type of mad. And that's exactly how I feel. People last night, or on Sunday, were saying, you got to go. You've been right. Go spike the football. This is great. You were right. They were wrong. I'm like, no, I'm not going to be happy until we get it right. And that the media, so corrupt, that lied on a level we have never seen before in this country's history because of their psychotic rage of hating your father and family every second, minute, hour of every 24-hour day. And then on the other side of it is they ignored what was a mountain of growing evidence that is incontrovertible that laid out the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in history, and they stuck with the phony Russia story with no evidence ever that they had available to them, anonymous sourcing, repeating each other, one false report after another that went on for years, lying to the American people. You get the last minute.
Listen, Sean, I think you hit it on the head. It's not about trying to be vengeful. It's not about anything. But when you've gone through what we've gone through for the last 2 years, you want to make sure that the people that perpetrated this hoax are held accountable. You want to make sure that it doesn't happen to any president, any family, any administration ever again on both sides.
Yeah.
This is not a one-way street on both sides. But when you do this, and when I look at the people that they've taken down for stuff that has nothing to do with anything, process crimes, like not everyone had the benefit of being able to write a seven-figure check to pay for their legal fees. So they go in, they do their best. They didn't prepare. They say something wrong. That's basically what's happened. So when the left goes around and tries to do their victory, well, look what you got this guy for. He made a mistake because of something that he did 2 years before. I mean, I got hell that I was trying to hide stuff. You heard this one. This was the third CNN bombshell. Well, there's an unknown number. It must be your father. You must have had the conversation.
I remember.
I don't remember who called me 2 years ago on a random day for 30 seconds from an unknown number. I really don't. I don't think anyone knows who called them.
No, but that's also, that's a perjury trap. The whole
correct. Well, of course it is. But I said, I honestly don't know who it was. They say it must be Trump. Well, it turns out Senate Intel subpoenas the phone company and they find out it's two of my buddies. Two different guys, two different things, nothing to do with my father.
I've got a roll, but listen to me. That means they read all my emails and texts to you. I hope they enjoyed reading it. All right, Don Jr., we're just beginning. We're going to get to the bottom of it. Thank you for being with us. All right, as we continue on, 800-941-SEAN, you want to be a part of the program, 25 now until the top of the hour. Where do we go from here, and who will be held accountable, and how will we do it? That's the question we're asking. Now, I talked a lot yesterday. A lot of people, a lot of collateral damage in this two-year, witch hunt, going into however many witnesses we told you yesterday. I mean, 500 interviews and interrogations, all the people that brought in for interviews. You don't go into an interview with a special counsel without a lawyer. And maybe you're not paid a whole lot of money like you would make in the private sector. And you think these Washington, D.C. lawyers, any one of them that are worth, worth your time, they're all expensive. $1,000 an hour is not unheard of for a lawyer in D.C. and the amount of prep time that goes into every one of those sessions. Nobody seems to care about that aspect of this, as Congress is recklessly proposing that, well, let's bring everybody back again. We'll do it until we get the answer we want, even though the FBI concluded no collusion after their 9-month investigation before Mueller, and that we had a bipartisan Senate committee, Intel committee. They concluded no evidence of Russia collusion, and the House Intel Committee concluding no evidence of Russia collusion. The only one that seems to think that it might be hiding out there still is the cowardly Schiff himself. You know, Adam Schiff was the biggest liar in Congress, as I told you he is. And I was not wrong about him, and I will continue to invite him to show up here and defend what is indefensible at this point.
You have said, though, in the past there was significant evidence of collusion. How do you square that with Robert Mueller's decision not to indict anyone?
And there is significant evidence of collusion, and we've set that out time and time again, from the secret meetings in Trump Tower to the conversations between Flynn, the Russian ambassador, to the providing of polling data to someone linked to Russian intelligence, and Stone's conversation with WikiLeaks and the GRU through
Lucifer II.
No, that's true. And as I pointed out on your show many times, there's a difference between compelling evidence of collusion and whether the special counsel concludes that he can prove beyond a reasonable doubt the criminal charge of conspiracy. And as I've said before, George, I leave that decision to Bob Mueller, and I have full confidence in him. And I think, frankly, the country owes Bob Mueller a debt of gratitude for conducting the investigation as professionally as he has. So I have trust in his prosecutorial judgment, but that doesn't mean, of course, that there isn't compelling and incriminating evidence that should be shared with the American people.
You say you're going to take it as far as necessary. That means subpoena first, then sue?
It means make the request. If the request is denied, subpoena. If the subpoenas are denied, we will haul people before the Congress. And yes, we will prosecute in court as necessary to get this information. And, you know, I'll say this. I think that Neil Katyal's prognostication is quite correct. We will win that litigation.
Why are you so sure?
The Justice Department will be... Well, because how do you make the cases the Justice Department that after providing 880,000 pages of discovery to a Republican Congress in answer to subpoenas, that somehow you're precluded from providing that information to Congress in the Trump investigation? When likewise in the Clinton investigation, there were no indictments for Rod Rosenstein or others to say it's our policy not to share information with those not indicted. They should explain that to Bruce Orr or Andy McCabe or Peter Strzok or Lisa Page or countless others, Hillary Clinton, for whom they provided hundreds of thousands of pages of information to Congress, much of it made public. So I would hate to defend that double standard in court. And if they try, they'll not only lose, but they will damage any reputation for impartiality.
You told the San Francisco Chronicle on Friday, if there's no bombshell, there's no impeachment. Does no new indictments qualify as no bombshell?
Not necessarily, because again, George, as you pointed out, they can't indict the president. That's their policy. And therefore, there could be overwhelming evidence on the obstruction issue. And I don't know that that's the case. But if there were overwhelming evidence of criminality on the president's part, then the Congress would need to consider that remedy if indictment is foreclosed. So it's really too early to make those judgments.
But then you have the George Papadopoulos's of the world. I've been all around the campaign in 2016. His name pops up. I'm like, who? George who? I thought I knew most of the people in the campaign because I interviewed the president, went on the road with every candidate, including the president, and here we are. Somebody that really was damaged in all of this in ways that should make every American fear this ever happening again. When your constitutional rights, your constitutionally protected rights, are trampled upon by people that have the authority and the tools of intelligence to go after you for no other reason except they don't like who you are supporting for president, and then go to a FISA court judge with information that we now know the FBI, the DOJ, and even Andrew Weissman had in August of 2016, just looking at the testimony of Bruce Orr in August of 2016. Well, then a few months later in October of 2016, Well, you use what Bruce Orr said was Hillary Clinton's bought and paid for Russian lies with funneled money through a op research firm to a foreign agent full of Russian lies, we now know, that was put together by somebody that doesn't even stand by his own dirty Russian dossier. But that became the bulk of the application for four FISA warrants against Carter Page. That's four. That means they listen to his phone calls, they spy on his emails, text messages. There's no freedom, there's no privacy. Whatever happened to Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable search and seizure? They omitted to the FISA court that Hillary, they never bothered to tell the judges in their application Hillary paid for that dirty dossier. They never were able to verify or corroborate it, because now we know that the author of the dossier, Christopher Steele, he has no idea if any of it's true. But it was true enough, salacious enough, to use it to bludgeon Trump, because once you got Carter Page and you got the FISA warrant against Carter Page, you had a backdoor into all things Trump campaign. Now, this is in the lead up to a presidential election. So you're using the other candidates bought and paid for, of all things, Russian lies to spy on the entire Trump campaign on top of putting spies in the Trump campaign. But the one caught in the middle of it was Carter Page. And Carter Page joins us now. He is a, you know, from the very beginning, he's been a target of this whole witch hunt. It's gone on now for years of his life. He now has a number of lawsuits pending. You know, but remember, infamously, Ray Donovan says after a long investigation, where do I go now to get my good name back? You know, how are you feeling about the developments the last 2 days?
Sean, I think Sunday basically confirmed everything you've been saying for the last several years. Really, what the DNC and their operatives incited was nothing short of a witch hunt. And I think, you know, we were always wondering, watching, what's it going to be like when we finally move to the next step? And I think what we saw in terms of the way that Attorney General Barr handled it shows that the ship of justice is starting to get put on the right course. So to me, that is the most important and encouraging sign. I mean, we knew what the truth was. The fact that they're moving towards the truth now is just really encouraging. I think, as you've been saying, there's some major steps ahead.
Well, I mean, for you, I know you've got a series of lawsuits that some of which have been made public. I guess others are going to be made public. But, you know, at some point, you know, I have asked you many, many times, because you've traveled the world. You did live in Russia for a long period of time. And I kind of got the impression, you never confirmed or denied to me whether or not you actually work for the intelligence community in some capacity. But I do know that every time you came back from a foreign hostile country or a hostile regime like Russia with a hostile actor like Putin, and we all knew that he would do this. I mean, Devin Nunes warned the world in 2014 he'd try and mess with the 2016 elections. That's what they do. That's what they've always done. It shouldn't have been a surprise. And but you would sit down with our intel community and they would debrief you, and you were friends with these people. Is that correct?
I've always served my country ever since my time in the Navy. This has just been a constant, you know, do the best that I can. And if I'm asked for my service, I will always be willing to help. The only difference is all those things you're referring to in terms of interference in the election. I think, you know, you say that that's been consistent for a long time. You're absolutely right. I think what is inconsistent is exactly what you've been highlighting, Sean, with the interference by the Democrats and their collusion with those same types of people. So they're the epicenter of this whole debacle.
But you would never give me a straight answer if you were ever a member of, because it's interesting, they got the four FISA applications approved to spy on you. You were only called in to talk to Mueller once, and it wasn't a particularly long period of time, was it?
Well, it was a full day, and it was a year and a half ago, back in November right. 2017.
And it's funny, they never wanted to indict you at any point. You were never even speculated about it. It was like you were just lost in the shuffle here, but you were the means by which they got to the Trump campaign, and they were using you the entire time.
Yeah, I think that's a fair characterization, and there's definitely some major steps that need to be taken to start heading towards justice. And
so what are the steps? Because that is now what I have begun today and what I will begin tonight on television. What are the steps that you think need to be taken so that this never happens again? I don't think people understand. We were perilously close to a real, real tragedy in terms of our constitutional republic. I mean, this was an attempted coup. There was an attempt to rig a presidential election, starting with exonerating somebody that should have been indicted by any objective measure, but being the favored candidate that should win 100 million to zero, going against the candidate who had smelly Walmart shoppers as voters. We know where they stood, you know, what do you think are the steps necessary? Number one, I don't think the tools of intelligence could ever, ever be turned on the American people like this again. Your constitutional rights were shredded in this process.
Yeah, well, Sean, you know, like you've been talking about, there, it's absolutely essential to basically do, you know, you've provided a platform in terms of showing those next steps. And I think what we heard from Chairman Graham yesterday, what we heard from Congressman Meadows, Congressman Jordan, Rudy Giuliani, I think it's amazing the level of commitment to restoring our constitutional republic and the rule of law in this country. And specifically, I think the next 2 weeks are really going to be essential. Next Friday, on April 5th, 2019, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, the DOJ, has to give a brief related to the initial case about the interference in the election by DOJ and the abusive process in the courts. So it's really going to be an important bellwether. I think, you know, it was a very positive first step on Sunday. We'll have to see how that moves forward. But
well, we're going to follow it every step of the way. And, you know, as I'm going to lay out who needs to be investigated and for what crimes tonight on Hannity. We're going to name names, the people in the media that are most, you know, corrupt and complicit in advancing the biggest lie ever told for years now. And they need to be held accountable. Well, we wish you the best. We'll follow your case. I hope your attorneys are good at what they do. We do have a court system that where there are judges that think that their job is to write the law, not apply the law as their constitutional authority would warrant. And we hope you get somebody that understands the rule of law and rules in your favor. Frankly, I don't see how any judge could rule any other way, and especially knowing FISA judges were lied to about you. Anyway, thank you so much, Carter Page. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Where do we go from here in terms of holding the media mob liars accountable? And where do we go from here in terms of holding those that broke the law, tried to rig an election, tried to undo an election, accountable and abuse power and are corrupt? That's Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Sarah, Greg, Alan Dershowitz, Lara Logan tonight. Hope you'll join us. See you back here tomorrow. See you tonight at 9.